The Dad Stuff Podcast, brought to you by Ned Australian Whiskey. It's Aussie for bourbon.
Welcome to the Dad Stuff Podcast, made by dads, but made for everyone. Brought to you by Ned Australian Whiskey. Now, our first guest is a young man who's in the midst of conquering the motorsport world. He started racing go-karts in New Zealand. He soon made the move to Australia and started dominating the touring car racing scene. After missing out on his first Supercars Championship in heartbreaking fashion in 2017, he bounced back in huge style, winning the next three in a row and snaring the 2019 Bathurst 1000. He then headed to the USA, driving for Roger Penske in the IndyCar Series, where he was Rookie of the Year in his opening season and continues to win races and challenge for the championship. Welcome to the Dad Stuff Podcast, all the way from Charlotte in North Carolina, Scotty McLaughlin.
Dave, how are you, mate? Thanks for having me. Appreciate it. First guest. I didn't realise that. There we go.
Mate, first guest.
Like that.
We're reaching for the moon, mate, with our guests. I know that's something you like to do. Hey, how is life in the US?
Good, man. It certainly took some getting used to, for sure. And you miss your sort of friends and everyone back home. But you quickly adjust. And also, like, you know, at the same time, I've got a huge amount of I've got a lot of relationships here already because of my wife. She's from America, as most people know. So, yeah, just like be able to come over here and have a semi-support system initially was really, really good. And then the team obviously was massive help with me. And but, yeah, certainly got my feet on the ground now here in America. Certainly feel very comfortable here. And yeah, really excited for the future. I think we're really building a nice platform here. And, you know, we bought this house about a couple of years ago, a year and a half ago now, and it's cool to be a homeowner here in America. It's very different, but it's you know, it's nice to have some roots on the ground and just keep focused forward.
So tell us about the area that you are living in. You got the house there, and what are the pros and cons to where you live in?
So I moved a little bit away from a lot of people live North Charlotte, Mooresville. That's actually where Shane Van Gisbergen's moved to and a few others. That's where the race shops are. So I'm about 35, 40 minutes from there. And when I was actually in Australia, a lot of people lived on the Gold Coast when I was driving for DJR and, like, you know, all the drivers would live there. But I chose to live in Brisbane just to get away from it all a little bit. And it's kind of the same thing that I've done with the Lake Norman, Mooresville area. So I just got away. So we're south end. We're about 10 minutes. The pros of that, we're 10 minutes from the city. It's a quick tram ride to the NFL stadium to watch the Panthers, who aren't very good at the moment. And then it's 15 minutes to the airport. Doesn't matter what day of the week you leave, what time of the week you leave, it's just easy. So the only bad thing about that is me trying to get to the workshop. That's probably the sucky thing about it. But, you know, the amount we race, we probably go in once a week, every couple of weeks. So it's probably not as much as I had to do back in Australia.
Now, I moved to Australia like 20 years ago from the UK. The hardest thing I had to deal with was the lollies, but there's certain foods and beers I missed.
Yep.
There's got to be some that you miss from New Zealand and Australia. What do you fill your suitcase with when you come back to Australia?
Oh, like just, yeah, Bickies and you know, Whittaker's chocolate in New Zealand is a big deal that I miss. Cadbury.
Yes.
Honestly, even Cadbury in Australia, like, you know, I was just there and I just filled up on Cadbury and Caramellos and stuff like that because the chocolate is just really, really good back home. And yeah, like you said, the lollies. What else? Like some of the cereal, like Milo cereal and stuff like that. Like, you know, I just miss that sort of stuff. But another thing is probably the biggest thing and probably everyday thing is like the coffee here is terrible. So like it's nice to like go home, I'm a big Campos coffee drinker in Australia. So grab myself a couple of bags. I think I spent like $400 on coffee beans, like just to get home. But it was like, it'll last us for a while.
Man, I reckon we'll get the Campos sponsorship on the IndyCar at one point.
Yeah, maybe. Let's get them on board. Maybe we should. We need to get going.
Hey, we touched on it. You've smashed it since going to IndyCar. You know, to be honest, those who knew you wasn't really in doubt. But I guess for you to get over there to start winning races, and particularly this season, win on ovals, which for those who don't really know motorsport, you can race at tracks all over the world and you can be competitive. You go to ovals and take on the Americans who've been racing on ovals all their lives and the intricacies. Like, how big was that for you to win your first oval race?
Oh, it was huge. It had been coming a long time. And I was very close in my second year when I won my first IndyCar race to winning. I actually lost on the last lap. And I hadn't been anywhere near it since then, and it was really starting to bug me, but it sort of just clicked this year, just my confidence level in terms of trying to find the grip and using the aero wash and stuff. A lot of intricacies of what you talked about, I had to learn and had to take time to get comfortable with. Especially at the speeds we're going, like we're doing, 360 kilometers an hour, it's pretty crazy. So it's pretty mind blowing when you put it that way. And yeah, it takes a bit to acclimatize to it, but when you get it right, it feels so awesome. And I've honestly really enjoyed, like, the oval racing has probably been my, like, some of the most satisfying racing of my career, just like because of how hard you've got to work for it. Not saying I never worked hard for any of the other stuff, but like everything just ha it's like a mini Bathurst 1000 every time you're on an oval. It's there's just so much stuff that can go wrong, and if you do everything right, you're gonna be there or thereabouts. But you need car speed, you need to make the right choices. It's pretty hard.
You mentioned the top speeds there, like they are obscene. And I don't think there's anything quite like being close to a fence when a whole pack of Indy cars go past on an oval at those
Yeah.
speeds. Tell us, given what you know about motorsport across the world, how good are Indy car drivers?
Oh, very good. I mean, I've always thought like supercars in New Zealand and Australia, we punch above our weight with our driving down under. And I think that's why you see myself, Shane, Will Brown, Brody, who have come over here, really go okay. And especially if we are in good equipment. But the level of IndyCar racing, the level of competitiveness between, the front teams, the back teams, like it's just so tight. And that's a credit to the competition, but it's also like the reason we've had a very similar chassis, if not the same chassis, for 12 years. Like people, they understand what they need to do, and there's not many things you can change to the car apart from like the shocks, the dampers, all that stuff. So you're looking for minute like seconds, just trying to be better. And I've really resonated to that. I've enjoyed that part of it, and it's grown me as a driver.
Okay, age-old question, and it's a question that I know you fire up every time on social media that somebody points something out about the best drivers in the world. Formula One versus IndyCar. Tell us, same level, different styles. Give us the lowdown from Scott McLaughlin.
Oh, it's so hard. Like, that's such a. I get mad because it's such a tough question to answer. Like, it's such a, like, you got Max, who's I think Max Verstappen's the most incredible driver in the world. I think he's the best driver in the world, to be honest. Then you've got, like, I know that it all happened with Kyle Larson, sort of said something about, being as good as Max and whatever. But I kind of agree that I think he was, for sure, like, he's very good and good at the stuff that he's done. And I've been good at the supercar stuff and then jumped in the IndyCar. And but it's such a, I don't know how to answer that. I think you've just got to be, if you can be as adaptable as you can be to so many different things, I think it's not about just trying to be the best in the world. Like, because I'm not going to be the best monster truck driver in the world or Baja 1000 driver, but I know I can drive an Indy car pretty good or a supercar pretty good. But you just it's impossible to figure that question out. But I guess I get frustrated from a perspective of Formula One versus IndyCar a little bit, because I know that how competitive IndyCar is. And then you have like the Formula One aspect where I know how good everyone is there, but not everyone gets the chance to show that like an IndyCar does. So there's pros and cons to both series in that regard for sure. But yeah, I think it's an impossible debate to finalize, like trying to figure out who genuinely is the best driver in the world.
So to summarize, you're saying that you're way better than everybody apart from Max Verstappen. Got
Yeah.
it. Yeah,
Oh,
no,
you've.
I'm joking. That's
No,
not
but
what
I
you
mean,
said.
at the
That's
end of
not
the
what you said.
day, like every driver thinks they are the best driver in the world. It's just like that's how it is. And if you're not thinking like that, if you're not thinking that I could jump in a Formula One car, or Kyle Larson could jump in a Formula One car, or Max could jump in a NASCAR, and if he wasn't thinking that he could be better, then anyway, that then he wouldn't be a good racing car driver, because you got to have some egotistical stuff about you. But I'm yeah, I just have a blast driving. I just yeah,
Yeah.
it's just it is what it is.
Hey, just one more on this because it intrigued me the other day. I noticed on social media, Karan Chandhok, when Logan Sargeant got the flick from Williams and they were saying who should replace him, he said Kyle Larson or Scott McLaughlin. Did you see that comment? What do you reckon to that?
I saw it. It's probably because he saw it as he saw me at Indy, and we were like kind of friendly there. So he was sort of he sort of was probably being friends there. But no, like Karun's a really cool guy. But I mean, I'll say no. I certainly would love, like, it would be awesome just to say that I've driven a Formula One car. You know, I think everyone in motorsport would just to be like knowing that is it is really the it is the pinnacle of the sport. In that regard, especially in probably world championship stuff, you know, but yeah, it's something that yeah, I've got asked a lot. You know, would you love to drive a Formula One car? Yeah, sure, absolutely. But I'm so happy with where I'm at right now, and in IndyCar, and I'm having a blast, man. And like I said, I've said many times, it's a cliche sort of saying, but if there was a Team Penske sticker or anything on the side of a wheelbarrow, I'd race a thing. Like, I don't really care. I just enjoy, you know, wheeling whatever it is and trying to go as fast as I can.
And I guess this is a question that you don't even need to answer. IndyCar, you've got to win a championship and you want to win the Indianapolis 500. That's something I know how your mind operates. It was the same in supercars. You're like, I'm here to win a championship or multiples, and I'm here to win the Bathurst 1000. That doesn't change for you.
Yeah, no, I mean, like for me, it's the same. So when I was in Australia, like I always put Bathurst above a championship because of just how hard it is to win and how perfect you have to be. And that's the same here. Like I put Indy above a championship, not saying it's not important, but just purely from the fact of it's so hard to do. And I'm always a guy that I challenge myself, and you know, once I've ticked something off, it's like, okay, like what can I try next? What like could I try Le Mans? Like could I try Daytona 24 hour in the top class? Or, you know, there's just so many things that you can extend yourself and do. I mean, like the Baja 1000, like anything like that. I don't care what it is. It's just something just to challenge myself and further myself within reason, right? I'm gonna be a dad here soon, and we'll talk about that. But you know, and I'm getting older too, so I'm trying to, yeah, I've got to make sure I do the right thing by my body.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about everything other than motorsport. This is something we share a passion of. We've been very lucky. Well, I say no, I've been very lucky to hit the golf course with you at a pretty spectacular location at Barnboogle. From memory, we didn't get the win that day, but we had a bloody good day. And I know golf is just a massive passion of yours. Tell us, you've just joined a new club. How are you hitting it? Where are you playing? What's the state of play?
I wish I could tell you on air where I've joined. But I it's a little, yeah, I've got to be, it's a touchy subject, but I've joined a place in Charlotte. It's a really cool place, and I'm excited to, yeah, I can't say too much, but
Let's leave that
yeah,
there.
sorry, 'cause I
Now
don't
tell me
want to.
about your golf game.
It's really
No,
new, the
you tell me about the
membership.
golf game.
No, golf game's good, man. I love golf. I think it's the closest thing for me. Crazily, it's the closest thing for me that I get from a mental perspective, like what I do, and controlling my emotions and hitting shots when you need to. It's just like doing a lap when you need to. Yeah, I love it. Like you said, massive passion for it. Had a passion for it for years, as you know. And yeah, I probably play a lot more golf here in America than I did in Australia, even. And I played a lot in Australia. It's just like I play, yeah, all the time. But it's just there's so much good golf here. I had a blast. I mean, yeah, it's so cool.
I'm rocking the Live Golf
I
t-shirt today.
see
That was deliberate for
that.
you. I see you've got the dad t-shirt on. Hey, who's your favorite player at the moment? Who do you love watching?
Oh, it's hard to go past. I mean, Scotty, like Scotty Scheffler. He's one thing I like about him, and I think he's such a great champ. Like he's so humble and modest and down to earth, it seems. And just a family dude who's got a special talent. And he doesn't take it for granted. And then the other guy probably could like who I love is Max Homer. I really enjoy watching him, and it sucks he's sort of gone through a bit of form of late, but he's really good. But funny, like you know, when I was in Australia, like the LIV Golf thing is a lot more popular in Australia than it is here in America, which is it's funny. And you know, I never over here you really never see that much like LIV Golf merch or whatever. Like some people are like, kind of afraid to bring it to like a USGA course or whatever it is, but I think what's cool about the LIV Tour is it's actually allowed like people in Australia that don't normally see the professional players like the Koepkes, the Rahms, all that come down under and play in their backyard. And I think that's one thing that, like, from my perspective, from a fan perspective, like, that sucks about the PGA Tour, how they just sort of just play in America. I get this is where the money is, this is where the sponsorship dollars, the TV and whatnot, but it would be cool to see like a world tour. And I think Liv certainly brings that for sure.
No, mate, I couldn't agree more. Two-pronged question here. Best course you have played at, and the course you really want to play at that you haven't got to yet.
Well, best course I've played is I was lucky enough, David, I played Augusta. So that was
Stop
incredible.
it. Stop it.
So it was an incredible opportunity that I got through a friend of mine. And we had there. It's become a yearly thing, which is so amazing, so amazing. So yeah, we head down. We go down there and we play 18. We fly down, play 18, play the par three course, have stay the night, have dinner there, and then we turn around and play 18, and then fly home the next day. Which is, it's the most incredible. It's the best start to the year ever, and the place is just like it looks like the Masters. It's incredible. The only thing that's different about it is the flowers aren't like as bloomed as they are in like April or whatever. But the next course that I'd love to play is I'd love to play like Cyprus, so down like near Pebble Beach. I've lucky enough I played Pebble Beach a couple of years ago. That was an amazing experience as well. That's why there's so many amazing courses here and opportunities to play with some really cool people, and that's why I probably have got even more into my golf since I've been here.
Augusta, let's just go back a step, right? You play it more than once, okay? Have you had a nightmare hole there yet, like all the pros seem to do? And have you had like the hole that you're just gonna just dine out on every time you're having a steak and a glass of red with your mates? Have I told you about the hole at Augusta? Like, which is the best or the worst that you've had there?
So I the best I shot was the last time I played. I hit an 84 there. And
Oh.
the coolest thing is the like they've just got members tees and masters tees. That's what they're literally called. So when I was there the last time, hole six, par three, downhill, I hit it to like 2 feet. I like my caddy thought for sure if it was like summertime, it would have spun back and rolled back into the. I had it was like a front pin, and I like it was so tight. And I was like, oh man, that would have been amazing. Imagine getting a hole in one. I've never hit a hole in one before. That would be crazy at Augusta. But normally my Achilles heel when I play there is 10. I always manage to just hit it either too far or too far right and goes into the trees, and then I've got to pitch out. It's just seriously tough to hit that green. But yeah, it's just incredible to go there and see the history, and where Bubba Watson hit his shot to win like the championship and all that sort of stuff, and walk around that place. It's incredible.
But I am insanely jealous, I have to say, insanely jealous. So I'll caddy for you on
Yeah, I
tour.
don't take it for granted.
I'll bring my own white boiler suit and put your name on there and wear the hat as well. Hey, let's talk just before we move on to the dad side of things. Aside from golf, you've got another major obsession which has kind of been everywhere of late, and you're late to the party, but you've joined the Jersey Shore party. So you are binging Jersey Shore. How did that come about,
Yeah,
mate?
I'm up to season four now. So, season four, episode one. How did it come about? It was a NASCAR. I was watching NASCAR, and it was after a race, and I was having a couple of drinks, and I was just hanging out and with Carly, and I don't know. It was a rain delay for NASCAR, and I was like, oh, stuff it. Like, let's just watch something that's just like really for me was brain dead that I didn't even think about. And I'm like, oh, I haven't watched Jersey Shore before. Let's just like put it on and I'll just see what happens. And I heard a lot about it, but I never really, and I knew a few of the characters, but I never really understood why it was so popular. And when I started watching it, I'm just like, this is insane. Like, it's just, and then it's also some of the stuff that they said back then and did back then. Like, you can only imagine, like, they can't get away with that nowadays. It's incredible. It's some of the best TV I've ever seen. And I feel like I'm losing brain cells by the minute, but it's like, it's so awesome to see. And I just, it's a good outlet for me. It's so funny.
And the biggest, probably the biggest achievement since you've been in the States is on X, you know, followed by DJ Paulie D. Like,
Yeah.
that's like that moment. Like, have you got it marked in the diary?
So funny, like when I looked at my Twitter one day and I was you can go to like a verified followers tab and I had a couple of followers and like, oh, that profile picture looks kind of familiar. And then I like looked on, I'm like, oh crap, like DJ Paulie D followed me. So yeah, super cool. I reached out to him to come to one of our races in the near future. He hasn't responded, so I've thrown out the line. If anything happens, it happens. But he's a pretty popular figure, that's for sure.
Who your favorite character?
It's hard. Like, it's funny. They've all got just they're all just nuts. You know, like Paulie D is probably the most normal, and then they go through facets where they're just, you know, it's just part of being on the show. I love Snooki to start with. Then she got annoying. And then like the situation for me is just, I think it's hilarious. Like how he's just a maniac. Like it's incredible. Yeah, it's certainly crazy.
Now, Carly, your wife, she's from New York
Yeah,
area?
Long Island, Long Island. Yeah,
Long Island,
about 40
right.
minutes out of the city.
So, does she watch this and cringe?
Yeah.
Like, yeah,
Yeah,
how
she's
close to
like,
home is this for
yeah, I
her?
mean, like, it's like all, like, obviously, I've got a lot of friends here now from Long Island and around the Jersey area. And they're like, what the hell, dude? Like, this is all popular in like 2010 to 2012 kind of thing. But they also like, I sort of, it's funny, they're sort of living through me during this time as well and me figuring it out. So I can't wait to like go party next time and yell out, like, cabs are here and all that sort of stuff. So it'd be funny as.
It's t-shirt time. So if you're not following Scotty on Twitter, you've got to follow him. The comments he makes when he's watched another episode are epic. And it's reliving moments from, like you say, 2010. I'm going, oh yeah, that happened. And Scott's just having the best time watching it. So follow Scott on Twitter and then just enjoy the Jersey Shore side of things. Hey, the headline act, we've built up to it. You've got the dad t-shirt on. You're going to be a dad soon, mate.
Girl
How does
dad
that
too.
feel?
Girl dad.
Girl dad.
Yeah, I'm excited. We're about she's just Carly's 34 weeks now, so yeah, it's crazy. Super excited. The nursery's all done. Yeah, we're basically just waiting for the little girl to pop her head. So yeah, I'm very excited. I'm pretty blasé about it all though, to be honest. I'm sort of just rolling with the, you know, like everyone goes through their own experience about this whole thing, and everyone will try to give you advice, and which I've taken for sure. But I've also said to Carly, let's just like enjoy this, like and learn together. You know, it's not like it's her second child or my second child or whatever. It's like this is an experience that we're gonna just it change our life and just enjoy it. And yeah, I'd be lying if I said I wasn't a little nervous about everything, but as but then I'd probably be nervous if I wasn't, you know. So I'm excited.
Have you always wanted to be a dad?
Yeah, I've always loved kids, you know. I've always loved you know, interactions with kids, even like, you know, little fans and whatever, and then hanging out at the track, or and then always my friends having kids. You know, I'm goddad to one of my best friend Cal, his little guy Tommy, and you know, I'm Uncle Scotty to them, which is pretty cool. And I spent like a couple of weeks with them in Australia, just gone, and that was awesome, especially when I don't get to see them too much. And yeah, I have a blast. You know, just seeing people grow up into, you know, most of the time good kids, so it's awesome.
So what are you most looking forward to about being a dad? Is there kind of one or a couple of things that you can put your finger on? Yeah, I cannot wait for that.
I think just seeing her grow initially, like seeing, like, obviously everyone said like at the start it's like, you know, all they do is poop and cry, you know, and drink milk, you know, or eat, you know. So but like just seeing her, like even my Carly's sister just had a baby girl as well, so they're 3 months ahead of us. It's a pretty amazing thing that's happened. But seeing her little girl Alyssa grow in the last sort of 4 weeks has been incredible, and I just can't wait to see that same thing. And I think at the same time also, like, I know everyone's like, oh, you're gonna be waking up at 3, 6, you know, or whatever it is, even earlier, but I can't wait to have like a little toy, you know, like it's mine and I look after her, and then having like that responsibility. I'm actually excited for that because it's just the responsibility, as you know, is unmatched. So I'm very excited.
Right, the responsibility is unmatched, but also the love is unmatched. There's nothing that can replicate it. There's nothing that can prepare you for it. And it's just the best thing ever. And I've seen you reacting with kids around racetracks and away from there. And I think it's going to be a great experience for you.
It's not
Is
an, it's
there
not like,
some.
yeah, I'm not, sorry, I'm not like an emotional person either. But I remember like we heard her heartbeat for the first time, I was like far out. I was like, it was pretty like full on for me even. And I'm sure like when Carly gives birth, it's gonna be pretty full on.
Oh, mate. It'll be a moment that changes your life, and you will just look back at that moment and just be so happy for it. So we're talking about the good there. What are you scared of?
Just how I'm gonna react my first nappy change, I think. Like I'm not good with that stuff. The theater is actually a little bit nerve-wracking for me. I've heard a lot of horror stories about a few things that just Carly giving a natural birth and whatever. But I think, and I'm not the calmest person when it comes to like that sort of stuff when it's out of my control. Like in a race car and stuff, I can control things. And if I make a mistake, it's on me. Where if like I like the, if the doctors, I just want everything to go right. That's probably the thing I'm nervous about. But then also like just her growing up, I think, like getting to being a teenager. I want to be that cool dad, but you want her to be a good girl as well. And she's definitely gonna be daddy's girl. I think we're gonna have a good rapport, but you just want to be that cool dad for years, not just like the start of their life.
Let's be honest, she's going to go to school and say, "My dad drives race cars for a living."
Yeah.
You're going to be a cool dad. Don't
Yeah.
worry about that. Hey,
Yeah.
one bit of advice, a good friend of mine, he used to change a nappy. Every time he used to go change a nappy, he took two with him. One was to put on his baby, the other one was to spew into. So he could not cope with the smell. So there's options there. Don't worry about that. Hey, everybody's probably given you advice. Have you listened to any of it? You mentioned it before, or is there one bit of advice that's stuck in your head?
Oh no, this is, I think you were the one of those ones that said it as well, but like enjoy the sleep right now while we can. But even we're just talking about it before over dinner with Carly's mum's here and grandma, and it's like when the baby goes to sleep, you go to sleep, and get this and rest when the baby's resting. Like fingers crossed, she sleeps well, but that's not, there's no promises on that, as you know. So just try and get as much rest, especially in my sorry, my career.
You're talking about sleep, you're getting
I
tired.
know, I know, I know. I could be slightly hungover. You just never know. So.
The biggest thing that I found difficult, and it was like buying a car, was buying a pram. How many road tests did you do? Have you settled on one? Are you happy? Are you going to upgrade before the baby arrives?
Yeah, we asked a lot of people. I didn't really test them out. We went and had a look around, like Noona. There's another one called Silver Cross or something, and then Upper Baby, which is the one that we actually ended up going with. So it seemed like a pretty popular thing. Actually, Cal, one of my best mate, he had an Upper Baby and he swore by it. So he normally is pretty good at researching stuff. So I sort of just jumped on board with him.
And you're happy with your driving style? As can you cut some tenths off your time from the walk from the yard to the car?
Yes, no, I think there's, I thought the wheel bearings and stuff were very free on this one, so like it rolls really nice and doesn't need an alignment just yet, so we're good.
You got a wing on the back there just for a bit of extra downforce?
Yeah, just the cover that goes over the baby, that's it. I've got, yeah, just change the DRS.
And how long is the list of names that you got ready? Don't say anything about names that are on there, but have you got a long list or is it
No,
a very
it's
short list?
done. It's done. The,
Oh,
yeah, we've got a name already, so you'll find out in due course.
mate, I can't wait. I know that full well if it was going to be a boy, it would be David, but for you, Dylan,
exactly.
that's really super.
Right.
Yeah. Hey, one. We're going to move on to the segment now, which is very popular. We haven't done it yet, but it's so popular already. I know. So it's the Dad Stuff Fast Five.
Dad Stuff Fast Five.
So the first question for you in the Dad Stuff Fast Five: who's the most famous person in your phone contact list?
I remember you said that you're gonna ask me this.
Yeah.
Well, there's a guy that came to the Indy 500. he's he was an actor on a show called This Is Us. A guy named Milo Ventum. I can't say his last name. It's a crazy last name. But yep. Ventum. He was on like just a movie that just came out about a soldier. I forgot. But probably him because he's just a Hollywood dude. But if I had to go to a current dude that everyone, most people would know that listening to this, it'd probably just, let's say Oscar Piastri.
Yeah. Well, you're doing pretty well there.
Yeah.
Hey, best piece of advice you've ever got. Doesn't have to be motorsport related, just the best piece of advice you've got.
No, there's no finish line to perfection. That's for me, is like it's a big, that's how I've done my whole career. It's like you have to, there's no such thing as a perfect lap, and there's no such thing as like perfecting anything. It's about just growing and getting better because things change on the fly all the time.
And would you tell us who gave you that advice? Who was that?
I can't remember now. I think it was actually one of my, like, guy named Robbie Morton, who was my my mechanic back in the day in go-karting. And he was really strict with me in terms of filling out my setup sheets and learning what about the go-kart and what made it work and what made it tick. And I vaguely remember him saying it, but I just remember whoever said it to me, and I'm pretty sure it was Robbie, like it stuck with me forever.
Love that. Okay, what's top of your bucket list? You played Augusta, so mm-hmm. Knock that one off. What's on the bucket list now? What's top of the list?
You know, I think winning the Indy 500, probably, like being honest, that's probably the top of my bucket list. Because I think, the more I think about it, like that is like, that would be the most insane thing ever. Your life completely changes the minute you win that race. Like it's just it's incredible. But, and then if I had to say it's something off track, I actually want to be a pilot. Like I want to learn how to fly a plane. So that's kind of probably a first solo flight.
She's just a small challenge. Yeah, yeah. Just following. Is it Alex Rossi who flies?
And he's the one that him and Ed Carpenter, they own a plane together and they fly it to all the races. It's so cool. And I've got a couple of rides with them before. And the way that Alex is in the plane, it's pretty impressive. Like he's very professional. And I love it. Love it.
Awesome. Right. Ultimate meal, either at home or in a restaurant. What's the meal that you go, oh, I've just got to have that?
Yeah, I mean, when I went back to Australia, I had to have a good old chicken parma. Like, I just had to go there and eat that. So it's probably that, or if I had to choose something that was here in America, it's hard to beat like just a good New York pizza. Like the pizza is just incredible.
I love it. Now, the biggest question of the day, have you got a decent dad joke you can give us?
I do. I always seem to get sick on weekdays. I must have a weekend immune system.
That is truly brilliantly bad. No, I love it.
Yeah.
Hey, you've nailed it with the dad joke.
Yeah.
You've nailed it with the dad joke. You're a dad to be. You're a legendary guy. We really appreciate your time, mate. Good luck with fatherhood.
Thank you. Good luck
with the end of the IndyCar season, and let's hope that that bucket list item comes true next year at the Indy 500. And we can't wait to hear about the Jersey Shore escapades, but more importantly, your journey as a dad. Scotty McLaughlin, thank you so much.
Thanks, Dave. Appreciate having me. Thanks, man.
That was the Dad Stuff Podcast, brought to you by Ned Australian Whiskey. It's Aussie for bourbon.